Welcome to Landon and Jim versus the World, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome to Landon and Jim versus the World. I got it right this time, Landon.
There you go, Jim.
I was ready to get the Keystone kickoff thing going. That is Landon Tengwall. I am Jim Galante. Landon, how are you this week?
Doing good, Jim. Doing well. I'm ready to get into it. I think we got some. We're always excited for this show because we always have stuff that we send back and forth, and I'm ready to get into it, Jim.
So am I. A lot of fun things to talk about, but our show is brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. They've got a great inventory of new vehicles, including the 2024 Honda Civic, with financing rates as low as 3.9%. They also have my favorite car, the Honda CR-V. That's what I drive. That's what I bought recently from them. Don't forget also the truck, Landon's car. The Honda Ridgeline truck, fantastic vehicle. I know you're going to get one of those eventually, Landon.
Eventually, I'm gonna work a deal over there with the dudes over there. We have a good time. I'm gonna sweet talk them into getting me into that big truck.
You're gonna get a Ridgeline in one of the scooters.
Yeah, just wait till everybody listening. Wait till you guys see these scooters they have over there. They go pretty fast, even with me on it. Even with about 300 pounds on top of the scooter, it's high quality stuff.
300 pounds, Landon?
You know, Jim, right around there. We'll tote the line.
I'm betting the over, okay?
But, maybe the over right now. The summer food has been really good recently, Jim. I'll tell you what.
But check them out. We go to the showroom. That's Bobby Rahal Honda State College on West College Avenue. Or online, you can check them out on BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. And Landon, I just want to know, on the video where we're on the scooters, the one direction I beat you, okay? The other direction you beat me, and I think it was a gravity thing. Were we going uphill or downhill, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I do not trust your film editing.
You think I'm going to – so I have the cameraman that kind of took all the video of the ads we shot for Honda. So I think Jim's a little nervous that I'm going to edit it up in my favor. That's kind of what it seems like.
We have precedent, don't we, Landon?
Jim, look, I think Jim might be referring to the punting video. Go check it out on my YouTube channel, Landon Tengwall. Jim came out along with a couple Letterman, current players, another beat writer, and we had them catch punts and kicks from Alec Falcons, our starting kicker from last year. Jim says I edited out some of his catches. I don't know what to say. I think we looked through all the film. It doesn't seem that I could find any catches from Jim.
Well, here, let's then just go to the facts for those of us who were there. I was back for four kicks. I caught two out of the four, and the only two that made it to the video were the ones I didn't catch, Landon. I think it's fake media, fake news going out there. I think it's my concern about the video on the scooter is legitimate.
All right, we'll file that away with my cameraman and editor because I don't know, Jim. I didn't see it before it fully went out. Really, I watched it, but I don't disagree with you. We'll get it in there. We'll put out the clip on social media of Jim catching a punt just to pat him on the back a little bit.
I think just to be fair, Landon, you got to do that. All right, so not that I'm upset. I'm not. I'm just saying, if we're gonna be legitimate here, we got to show both sides. All right, and let's move on to our topics for the day. I've been waiting all week to get to that, Landon. You know that. You knew I wasn't going to let it go, didn't you?
No, I knew. We need to give Jim a little bit more self-esteem, make sure he gets some good clips in there. So I'm going to talk to my editor and make sure that gets done, Jim.
All right, fair enough. Let's move on to our show, Landon. This is kind of our dollars and cents show, isn't it? We got a lot of topics. They seem to be all around money. Where do you want to start on the money side?
I think we start with the beers. Everybody loves beer. including me now. I didn't used to like beer when Jim first met me. I mean, I was freshly, I was kind of 3 months into being 21. I said, hey, look, I don't drink beer. I don't do it. And he said, okay, well, you know, you're kind of not really a man. That's kind of the look Jim gave me, I think. And then finally, I went on a cruise with my girlfriend. We went down, I had some beers on a beach down in, you know, the islands. And it's been sealed ever since. I'm a huge summer shandy guy. So this isn't an ad for them at all. I'm on the golf course. I see a summer shandy, I will go crazy. I love them.
Well, you know, what's fascinating is I think that's me having a positive influence on you, Landon. Some may interpret it differently.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to call it a positive influence, though. So, yes, it's interesting. It kind of made the rounds. I don't have the graph in front of me, the graphic you do for the price of beers in schools and colleges now serving beer throughout the country. There's a wide disparity there, Landon.
It is. So we start out the NCAA average for a beer in a stadium during a football game is $8.34. That's the average. I mean, how much is a beer out of the grocery store?
$8.34.
No. I'd say that's is a six pack. I mean, a six pack is probably right around. I mean, it might be right around there. But Tennessee is tops the list, $13 for a beer at University of Tennessee. So to get drunk, man, if you're watching a tennis, there's not many drunk people at Vols games, I guess, because it takes a lot. And then at 12, we got UCLA and Buffs and Buffalo. We are at $10 per beer. So, I mean, you want to go get four beers. I mean, $40, that's kind of hefty. But that seems like it's kind of middle of the pack, even though we're above the average. And then going all the way down at like $5, we got Wake Forest, Oregon, Louisville, and then $3, Jim. And this kind of makes sense. The two teams that have $3 beers at their football games, TCU and Tulane. I think those are a couple of – I mean, it's kind of interesting with TCU being – I think that's kind of like a Christian school, isn't it?
What does TCU stand for, Landon?
Isn't it Texas Christian Methodist, something like that?
Texas Christian. Yes, it is.
Well, they're awfully in, you know, they're kind of almost enforcing, really welcoming people to get drunk with $3. Because you got to think about it. At TCU, I can get three beers for under $10. At Tennessee, one beer is well over $12. I mean, $13. That's, I don't know, that's a lot of disparity there. So hopefully, I mean, Penn State, we're up in the $10. I hope some of that money is going to NIL or stadium renovations, Jim, something like that, for charging $10 a beer.
Well, if you've got a $700 million beer for stadium renovation, you need to raise money. But you know, I have a suggestion. Here's the fix for it, Landon. Very easy. Drink during the tailgating. Okay? And by the way, that had always been my strategy for, you know, the games. I would drink at the tailgate. Then you got 3 or 4 hours of game time. I don't drink. That means I'm then ready for the drive home. Okay. That's the game strategy, Landon, and it hasn't failed me yet.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't know which started first, if it started with football games or started with going to the bar first, but it's very popular nowadays. I mean, I'm sure it used to be, but it's called pre-gaming, even before you go out to the bars. So everybody gets together at a household or a certain place, and you know, they start to drink because it's cheaper, because they're not out. So a lot of people say, hey, I'm only drinking at the pregame. They go out, they enjoy whatever they got from the pregame that's still lasting on them. And then once it's done, they don't really drink while they're out. So I guess you could implement a similar plan in there for the game. I like it, Jim. It's smart. If you've got to drive home, cut yourself off at kickoff, and then you're good to go. All the adrenaline from the game will get you home. You'll be good to go. This isn't an advertisement to drink and drive. Please don't sue me.
I think people understand, but to me, that's why. Well, for the longest time, you couldn't drink at Beaver Stadium. Mm. They didn't sell beer, so I think that's part of why tailgating was invented, for the opportunity to drink. But if I could bring my own beer to the tailgate, Landon, there you go. I like it. Drink for the tailgate. Use the game to kind of wear off the buzz. Then you're ready to head home. There's the strategy, but I am proud of you that you are now a beer drinker.
Good encouragement, Jim.
I'm gonna get in trouble with Dad and Mom Tengwa for being the bad influence on their poor little boy Landon.
That's what I'm gonna tell him, Jim. Buckle up.
Well, Landon, what was fascinating to me, not only was there the graphic came out on the beer prices at the different venues, but there started to be like this online battle from the different schools. You know, come here, we'll put out the same kind of beer. Or how about BYU? What do they do about this?
That's a good point. Yeah, they serve apple juice, something like that. Apple juice, chocolate milk. They're definitely not serving beer, I'll tell you that.
I guess their take is, come here and don't drink.
Well, yeah, their take is, hey, you're saving money, at least. I wonder, are you allowed to drink in, like, are you allowed to tailgate? I mean, BYU has tailgating, right? And they're able to drink in the parking lot on campus. Is that allowed?
I don't know. It might be one of those. It'd be interesting. We'll have to look that up. It might be, and I'm just guessing here, Landon, it might be one of those where maybe they don't allow drinking on the campus itself.
Huh. Yeah, I just looked it up, guys. We're in real time here. No alcohol is allowed in the tailgate lot or on campus at BYU.
Something seems wrong there, doesn't it?
Yeah, including inside the stadium or in its parking lots. Wow. Well, hey, they're not doing it right. Maybe that's why BYU hasn't won anything big time in a while, because they're not tailgating. Their fans are not tailgating right. They need to fix that ASAP.
I know I'm pretty sure you're not old enough to have watched him play, but do you remember Jim McMahon, the quarterback?
Yes, I do. I do. I haven't seen him play, but he transcends time with his looks.
He went to BYU. That's a fish out of water there.
Yeah, that doesn't match at all. Not at all. He was kind of like a wild, like spunky, like he was out there a little bit, right?
Yes, definitely a party kind of guy who I think he kind of skirted more than one or two of the BYU rules when he was there.
I'd say so. I think you can get kicked out for engaging with activities and, you know, with other people and stuff like, I mean, anything like that. You're out of, I mean, it's crazy the rules they have there. And I, you know, I guess I see why it's a little bit different up in the Northwest regions over there. But I don't know. I like it here at Penn State where we have our alcohol and we have our ability to trickle over to other dorm rooms, Jim.
Oh, Landon, you're going to get us in trouble here. You know what? I think it is very, very good timing that we have run out of time for quarter number one of our show. Thank goodness. Come back quarter number two. I'll get Landon settled down.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to Landon and Jim versus the World, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to Landon and Jim versus the World. He's Landon, I'm Jim. Yes, Landon, you're smiling. Yeah. Whenever I get it correct, and you're just smiling because it's Landon and Jim.
I know, so, Jim. Honestly, every time I'm used to you, I want to hear you say the Keystone Kickoff Show, but then I hear the other. I would forget it every time. Good thing I'm not doing the intro.
Well, there's that hesitation every time I say it, Landon. I want to fall back to it. So we talk about our show here being fun for Landon and myself because we have such a major age discrepancy. Everything that Landon knows about, I don't have a clue. I nothing, okay? And the other side, I start telling stories from long ago, and my instinct is, well, of course he knows who this person is. And it's like, why should he? He hasn't, you know, he wasn't born till, you know, 30 years later from when this guy was around. In between segments, I was telling Landon about somebody by the name of Howard Cosell. And if you're over a certain age, you absolutely know who he is. If you're under a certain age, like Landon, look him up. He was the original part of the original announcing team on Monday Night Football. He was also a big boxing announcer with Muhammad Ali. He and Ali had a great relationship, and they really worked together well. But anyway, let's circle back to our topic for the day. We've been saying it's our money show, shifting from what it costs for a beer. Landon, what's it going to cost to put your ad on the middle of Beaver Stadium? Because that's right. The NCAA is now allowing sponsorship where people could get their logo right on the field. And what's fascinating to me, Landon, with a lot of these things where there's the discussion of ways for schools to make money is that there's pushback to it. What is the problem if there's a company logo on the middle of Beaver Stadium's field?
Yeah, I don't think it's really a problem at most schools. I'd say it's probably more of a problem at Penn State than any other school because tradition here, it's like change here. Nah, we can't do it, especially if it's going to make us money. You definitely can't do it then. That's kind of what it feels like. I swear to God, Jim. So, it's just helpful. If you don't want to put it on the uniforms, which I definitely think would even face more backlash than just Beaver Stadium, and I think you could find one that the fans could kind of get behind. Go with someone that has a good reputation that people enjoy. Something like, I'm not, throwing out like an Allstate, something like that. You know, people love those commercials. They State Farm, whatever it is. And I feel like that's probably the route people would go with some type of like insurance company, something like that, that have a ton of money. But why not? And I feel like that's the type of money that could go directly in to NIL related / athletic programs. That's just pumping extra money in. And I think a lot of those companies and businesses would pay top dollar to be on the field in Beaver Stadium for, say we have whatever, 7 home games out of the year and possibly a playoff game. Ooh, I don't know how much that would cost, if it's by game, if they change it up, if they switch sponsors, but I would assume they would stick with one. I mean, that's a pretty penny they would have to pay to get into Beaver Stadium. Now, I think it obviously would be less to go somewhere like Vanderbilt and put your logo on the field, but I like it. And I would even be for maybe putting it on the uniforms. That's how far I'm going. I know some Penn State fans would be all the way against that, but I where we're at nowadays, I don't see any reason why. We do it for the bowl games. We put on a bowl patch. I know it's a little different, but we alter uniforms in the past.
My question, why is that different? And I am the old time, Penn State fan here. And if I would present it to Penn State fans with, you're not happy that we were looking to you to contribute more money for NIL. Here's a way. You don't have to take one penny out of your pocket. We put this company logo on the field, and I've read that it could be worth $8 to $10 million even. Yep. That's half of that $20 million that they're talking about where the school could disperse to the student athletes. And I have no problem with that. And yes, the sacred all blue and white, jersey kind of went away several years ago when it was a big deal when they started putting the Nike logo on the uniform, Landon. Okay. When that first happened, that was a big deal at Penn State.
Well, it's interesting. I got a couple of things to say on this, and this is not a bash at Penn State fans at all, because I love the tradition we have here. And we were talking on yesterday's show about the fact of this place is different from any other universities. There's a reason guys are not leaving. It is family. It's just completely different. So I will say that. But it does feel like everybody agrees that college football and college sports are forever changing at this point. They were constant for about 70 years, really no change. And now we have a big change, and now it's constantly changing. And we have a bunch of fans that say, hey, no, I don't want to change with it. I'm not okay with XYZ. But we kind of have to at this point. We have to adapt at NIL. We have to find a way to bring more money into our program. And this is something that is easy. And I will share a story similar to this that Spider Caldwell, who was Joe Paterno's equipment manager for 30 years, just shared with me that I actually have a video coming out where we went into the stadium and he showed us around a lot of different cool stuff. And he showed me the 1991 Bowl jersey. And he said, this is the first jersey that had the Bowl's, you know, name right here on the chest plate. And what happened was, is the AD went in and they offered, I think it was, I believe at the time it was actually the Blockbuster Bowl, Jim. So yeah, I kind of before my time, and the AD came to Joe and he said, hey Joe, I messed up. I signed this contract and it says in it that they can put the Bowl patches on our jersey. And up to this point, that has not happened yet. And, you know, Joe wants to keep everything how it is. So he says, you know, how much is it if we don't? And they said, you know, it's $50,000, coach. And he said, fine, I'll take care of it. I'll pay the $50,000. I don't want those on our jerseys. Well, after a little bit of conversation with the AD and the people at the Bowl, it was basically concluded to Joe that, hey, this is going to happen from here on out. Everybody's going to wear Bowl jerseys. This is going to be the new normal. You have to get with the program, Joe. From there on out, after I think it was either 90 or 91, they wore the patches for every single bowl game, and it was not a problem at all. So I think that's something that we will kind of has to happen at Penn State, where things have to happen for everybody, and it has to be like a, okay, you know, everybody's doing this. All right, we have to get with the program type of thing for everybody to be okay and on board with it. You know, I don't think, like you said, no one cares now that Nike is on the uniform. I think people even like it. So I think that's something that people get used to, whatever we put on the field. If it's like I don't think they have enough money, but like a Sheetz logo, something like that. People will get behind that, Jim. I don't know. We could put you find the right sponsor, fans are going to get behind it and kind of like it. And kind of puts a little bit of some value into that stadium, something else.
Well, you and I, being in the public eye here, we know we've both been criticized for saying certain things. You know, you can't please everybody. That's just impossible and this kind of thing. But I think what has to happen or is presented in the way that, you know what, this is good for the team. This is our ability to compete with everybody else by having the money and not take it directly from the fans. Mm. This does not change my experience at the game. Seeing a logo on the field, I'm not going to be distracted by it landed. My enjoyment of the game is not going to change. And I think, as you said, even, you know, the logo on the jersey, I don't have a problem with it because I can understand that could help the university, help the team, help the players. Now, the one where I think will be an interesting reaction from the fans is if they go into naming rights for the stadium, where it's not Beaver Stadium. Now, here's the argument. I will give it from those who will probably react negatively about it, is there are certain places that are iconic. Wrigley Field, Fenway Park, Lambeau Field. You don't put the, you know, commercial on them, okay? You mentioned that to you, you can't call it whatever, Acrisure.
Yeah. Acrisure, which is some, I think, insurance firm or something like that.
Yes.
I mean, Heinz Field hasn't been around that. It wasn't around that long. It was because Three Rivers was up before that. If anybody's a Steelers fan, they know. But, you know, I Beaver Stadium is up there with all the names you just mentioned, Lambeau Field, all those. So I think you'd be hard-pressed, unless you were going to change that name of Beaver Stadium to Joe Paterno Field, I think you'd be hard pressed to get any type of support from fans with a name change. And I think still it'd be controversial. And we've talked about this. There was a lot of talk out there in the media, and it was kind of brought up to the board. They didn't really want to do anything with it, so it kind of got left alone. And I asked Mike Poorman, who has been around kind of a beat writer for 40 plus years here at Penn State. He said he thinks that's put to bed and there's really no chance of the Paterno name change happening. But, I mean, you start throwing around some serious cash. I mean, we're not just talking about an on-field sponsor where the Sheetz logo's at the 25-yard line. I mean, we're talking about calling Beaver Stadium whatever, State Farm Insurance Stadium. I mean, that is some serious money brought in to a school and an athletic program. So, I don't know. I think it's something you have to think about. But, like you said, when you're talking about something as historic as Beaver Stadium, and that's what people come here. People come here that don't even like football, and they're on a visit to college, and they say, you know, they're whatever. They like video games, and they're still going to take a picture in front of Beaver Stadium because of what it is. I mean, do you kind of ruin that a little bit? It's the same building, but it's not called Beaver Stadium anymore. I don't know. I think that kind of takes some of the lust away from the whole aura of it.
Well, and I'm the old guy. I'm the one who's supposed to say, no way, it's Beaver Stadium. But in this day and age where schools are, it's an arms race, and money is how you fight this battle. If that's going to be the difference, hey, you're not taking it directly out of my pocket, Landon. If you want to call it, you know, State Farm's Beaver Stadium, I don't have a problem.
And I think something that I loved, I think a lot of fans, I believe it's an SEC thing that for a while, I don't know if it still is, I just remember seeing it a lot as a kid, is the field goal net, the All-State, or it's All-State, it's like all hands, whatever. And you just always would see that. People love that. It just kind of reminds you of college kickers and how they kind of suck sometimes. But but it's just, I like that. I think if there's something on the field, like, I don't know, I think fans could get behind just more branding around it. It just creates more money for everybody. And like I said, you pick the right people, you have the right look to it, you present it the correct way. I think everybody can get behind it. But I do think when you're messing with something as historic as Beaver Stadium, that's going to be a little more messy with the fans than other places. But
all right, very good. I got one more point to make on that topic. I'll do it when we come back.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to Landon and Jim versus the World, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to Landon and Jim versus the World. He's Landon, I'm Jim. Our show is brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. That's where I went to get my new car, my brand new Honda CR-V, which I love. They also have the 2024 Honda Civic with financing rates as low as 3.9% and a great inventory of other new vehicles, including the truck that Landon has his eye on, the Ridgeline, the Black Edition that Matt had there that he drives, who's the Matt's the manager over at Bobby Rahal Honda. What a cool vehicle. That was great, wasn't it?
It's nice. I told you, we made some commercials. I hopped in a couple of different cars. I even got in Jim's car, but I was about to take, I had to drive the Ridgeline kind of off the lot a little bit for the commercial. I almost kept going, Jim. I'll tell you what. It's nice. It had that new car smell. I really liked it. I was ready to dump my old one.
What I thought was cool too is back in the bed, there's actually an area you can lift up. It could be like your cooler for the tailgating. So it was very cool. Check them out. Their showroom is on West College Avenue, or online. Check them out at Bobby Rahal Honda of StateCollege.com. Great place. Great people to work with there. All right, Landon, we were talking about colleges now opening up the possibility of putting a logo on the field. That you're now allowed to do. I don't think it'll be very long before there'll be the logo on the uniform. And Penn State, Pat Kraft, has actually talked about actually naming of Beaver Stadium, naming rights. And I know that will upset a lot of Penn State fans. The reason I don't have a problem, I'm being pragmatic about it. This renovation is going to cost $700 million. No matter how you cut it, lots of money. Whether you were for it or not, it's happening. That's $700 million that has to come from somewhere, Landon. And it's either we, you know, the fans, alums, who have to come up with that money, or you get creative. So being creative in this way. Now, you had mentioned you doing something with there are different companies who present themselves in different ways. Now, you mentioned in Pittsburgh, it was always Heinz Field. Well, the Heinz product is so identified with Pittsburgh, it fits. It works. So if you do it in a way, you mentioned the name Sheetz. Now, I have no idea if it would be something they would be interested in, but you don't just do it like slap their name on the stadium. You start putting up Sheetz places within the stadium or just outside the stadium where you could get your food, and they become part of the experience. And I'm sure there are other examples, you know, where, you know, a Pepsi, I'm again, big Mets fan, you know, in the stadium, there's the Pepsi porch. Okay. Where, if a home run goes there, you know, they'll announce it, you know, up into the Pepsi porch. It becomes part of that. So that is, how do you tie that sponsor into the rest of the stadium and the rest of the experience?
Yeah, no, I think you're right, Jim. It has to be something that kind of means something to the fans. That's why I went with Sheetz off the top of my head. Everybody loves Sheetz. If they were serving, you know, even they just, everybody loves to go into Sheetz and press that little iPad screen, computer screen, and you get to pick whatever you want. It's just something the kid inside of you just
made
really
to
enjoys
order.
It. Exactly. And so if anybody's in there with their appetizer buckets, whether it's mozzarella sticks, whether it's mac and cheese bites, cheese balls, whatever it is, I think that would do great. I would absolutely sit in Beaver Stadium with a bucket of mozzarella sticks. And I'm just being honest, Jim, I do know for a fact that they used to, this is brand new, with their appetizers, Sheetz just made it so you can get a bucket full. And I wouldn't know because I didn't order mozzarella sticks in bucket form. I mean, at all. That's not me, Jim. But I'm just telling you, that is an option. I think fans, you'd see a lot of fans walking around with a bucket of Sheetz mozzarella sticks. I think that'd be a good route to go because it means something to everybody. But hey, we're not, you know, it's not our job to get out there and name them, but I'm just saying it's Sheetz would be a good one to go with. But once again, I'm claiming I have no recollection that they made bucket sized appetizers.
And you know me and fried food, no way for me, yeah. Landon. We actually, you know, if people know you and I, Sheetz ought to be sponsoring this Landon and Jim versus the World show, Landon, because we would be the best representatives for it.
We'll clip this out and send it to him. We'll get it going.
But that's the kind of tie-in that works. It's kind of like we mentioned Heinz Field for Pittsburgh. Do you know in Milwaukee what the baseball stadium is called?
Mm-mm.
Miller Park. Milwaukee, beer.
Yep.
It fits. It makes sense. That's the kind of thing. So anyway, let's continue with our – we said this was going to be our money show. Everything we're talking about, money is the topic, Landon. And you and I both saw this independently – and found it really fascinating that in the NFL, the quarterback salaries are so crazy, someone actually suggested a separate quarterback salary cap.
Yeah, no, it's interesting right now. If you look at, I just looked up, the highest paid right now for salary is $55 million a year, where Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow both make about that. And it's funny because Patrick Mahomes, everybody remembers his 10-year, I think like $450 million contract. That's actually below the threshold of $55 million a year. But it's getting to the point where they are just making exorbitant amounts of money. So there is talks now between the owners of, hey, we need to make a separate salary cap for quarterbacks. I don't really know what that's going to look like. And what is that? I mean, there's an advantage right now to people. For example, I'll talk about my Pittsburgh Steelers. We have Justin Fields, who's still on his rookie contract that we picked up, and Russell Wilson, that's being paid like $34 million a year, and 33 of that is being paid by the Denver Broncos. So there is a huge advantage to the Steelers right now because we are not cap hit by a $50 million quarterback. We are able to disperse that elsewhere. We're not worried about paying an elite quarterback. But if there's just a quarterback salary cap, I mean, what does that look like? Do you have to pay him a certain amount? I'm just kind of confused how that worked, but it seems like there are very real talks about this because of what the quarterbacks are demanding. But I just don't get, what if I only want to give my quarterback, you know, $10 million a year, $5 million a year, because he's, you know, bottom of the barrel. I have a Justin Fields, one of these guys that hasn't really proven themselves. I'm not giving them a ton of money. So I am curious to see how that works. Is there, you know, is there certain money that has to be allocated to that quarterback salary cap and it can't be moved over to the regular one? I'd be curious to see how this shakes out, but it seems like it's a very real possibility of happening in the near future.
I wonder, Landon, if it has to do with what you mentioned about there are teams, they have a window where the quarterback is on his rookie salary, and there's such a disparity between that and, okay, the following year, all of a sudden the guy's going to make 10 times what he did the year before. And because of that disparity, maybe they're trying to fix that so that, you know, your team, you've got a fourth-year guy still on the rookie cap, so he's making a couple million dollars. Meanwhile, I've got the guy who's there for a sixth year, so I got to pay him at least $30 million just because he's, you know, a quarterback. If they – that really skews the whole salary cap of the whole team, whether you've got a fourth-year guy or a sixth-year guy. And maybe they're trying to fix that disparity. That's the thing that I wonder.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there is somewhere where they can kind of even that out. But, hey, I don't think it's the worst idea, though. I mean, you look at, like, for example, the Texans, they're riding high right now, not having to pay a quarterback any real money. I mean, C.J. Stroud's making a decent amount a year for, you know, he's one of the top picks, so he's going to make a decent amount. But, I mean, they're talking he might be demanding close to – I mean, $80 million is what they're talking here, Jim. A year, $80 million, because he's going to be kind of that next guy to really, really get paid. I mean, it's absurd amount of money, and I mean, it looks like he's going to deserve it. So that's kind of what you run into when you have a quarterback that rookie contract is starting to come up. Hey, let's, and it's kind of, you want to get it taken care of beforehand. You see, I've talked about Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs were smart. They took care of Patrick, and they're going to probably have to restructure that and give him a little bit more because guys are going to continue to pass him. But he's already the fourth highest paid. I mean, you think about someone, he should be number one. So they already got him as the fourth highest paid quarterback in the league. He's going to keep dropping. So then locking him into that 10-year contract was honestly really smart by the Chiefs. But I think that's why you talk about C.J. Stroud just finished up, I believe, his second year, I think. And they're already talking about trying to get this extension done maybe next offseason after his third year. You really don't have to do it until after, even if you, and he's a first round pick, they have a fifth year option that they can pick up too, and even have him on that rookie contract for a fifth year. But it's like, hey, I want to get that done after the third year and get him signed for $70-75 million a year. Cause if we wait until after that fifth year from, you know, at that point, oh my God, he might be asking for $100 million because the cap keeps going up. The salary cap, the, you know, the amount you're given each year by NFL teams keeps going up. So if you wait that extra 2 years, they get him signed, you might be really hurting yourself. So that's why they're trying to get them signed beforehand when they can really kind of get a handle and a grasp on that salary cap.
And as you said, I've often said this, Landon, how do you squeeze by on only $45 million a year? You know, let's make sure you have the leverage to negotiate for more. But remember also through the years, there have been quarterbacks who said, you know what? I will acquiesce a bit on my contract. It happens in the NBA also because I want to surround myself with good players. I want more good players around me. And yeah. I think Tom Brady was one who would do that. And, you know, it makes sense. And those guys could always make so much more money off the field.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. He had also his wife made more money than him, which they're no longer together, but yeah, they were, I don't think they were hurting for any dollars. So he was fine doing that.
And the lesson there from Tom Brady, and I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to do the same thing, is the lesson there, Landon, is to marry a supermodel.
There you go. That's pretty amazing that the great, I mean, honestly, in my opinion, him and I mean, it's Tom Brady and Michael Jordan and a couple other guys, Muhammad Ali, but talk about greatest athletes of all time. I don't even know if Brady really even comes close to how much Giselle made in her career. Like it's pretty insane where the wealth actually is sometimes. But yeah, I guess Brady he's living it up. He is now making he bumped Greg Olsen off. Greg Olsen was the number one color commentator for Fox. Tom Brady come in and I came in and I saw that Greg Olsen is going to take a pay cut from about $8 million all the way down to $1.5 million. So I think Greg Olsen's a little bit mad at Tom Brady right now, but they're both living all right.
Well, I'd still say rightfully so. All right, Landon, that's it for quarter three. Stick around. We got more to go.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, general manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to Landon and Jim versus the World, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to Landon and Jim versus the World. He's Landon Tengwall. I'm Jim Galante. We're taking on everything and anything in the sports world. Today's kind of been our money show, and you were talking about Tom Brady and his wife making so much more money than him. Again, marry up. That's the lesson there. But also, you brought up Tom Brady now going into the booth, going to be the lead announcer for Fox. My question to you is, Landon, and I know you're an NFL fan. Is there any way in the world, not just Tom Brady or Greg Olsen, is there any announcer that would make you watch a game versus not watching it? Oh, Tom Brady's calling the game, so I'm going to watch the game.
I will say, no, I don't think Tom Brady really has that influence on a lot of people. I think some people even, just because of what he did to their teams, they'll say, oh, I don't want to listen to this guy. But he actually just did a UFL. I think it was like the UFL championship. I don't know if that already happened, but it was like a UFL like playoff game. I don't know how he did. I didn't tune in. For me, I think a lot of college fans can agree with this one. If I hear Gus Johnson calling a game, oh, my God, Jim, do I get excited. I mean, this guy has the greatest one-liners. I mean, everybody knows the Denzel Ward hitting the Maryland wide receiver and you got barbecue back there and didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings. I mean, there's so many. I remember he used to have one that he used to do like Madden. He used to be the voice of Madden back in the day. I don't know why they took him off, but I mean, he is beloved. So if I hear that Gus Johnson is calling a game and I see, or he's calling a Penn State game, I would always want to watch it, Jim. I'd get hype when I hear just because that voice that he brings. But I'd say NFL-wise, Tony Romo, I did like. I think some people in agreement with me here that he kind of started to fall off a little bit because he used to call out the plays. I don't know if everybody remember that. He'd be like, you know, hey, they're running dive right here. They're running outside zone left. They're here. They're going to pass right over the middle of the tight end. And I mean, almost every single time he said something, they would do it. And it, from my understanding, what I heard is, they told him stop. They're like, Tony, you can't do that anymore. The fans, you know, it's not good. They basically told him cut it out. So he stopped doing it, and he kind of took a back seat. And now, you know, he's still one of the top guys. But from my understanding, that's why he doesn't do it anymore. He was told to stop doing it, which I think fans, I mean, they loved it because it's like, okay, is he, you know, is it actually going to happen?
I can't believe that because I love that about him when he first came on. That's what made him popular. Now he doesn't do it, and I felt like he just stopped doing his homework. Like when he came right off the NFL field, he was still used to preparing like a quarterback, and he did. You know, he studied the defense, so he knew what was coming. He knew how he would attack it as a quarterback, and it just doesn't seem like he's going to do that anymore. And as long as we're on media, the play-by-play and color guys, I am not a Troy Aikman fan at all. Mm. I don't like him and Joe Buck. If there's ever someone I might turn off, it's those two.
It's Joe Buck every time for me. Not a fan at all either. No good.
Don't like. Now, Gus Johnson, who you mentioned, I wasn't sure which direction you were going to go.
Are there people out there that don't like Gus Johnson?
Oh, there's a lot of people who don't.
Oh, like my gosh. Guys, fix your ears and your eyeballs, man. That guy's a legend. I absolutely love him.
What I like about him doing the Penn State game is he makes it sound like the most important game in the history of mankind. And guess what? To me, it is.
It is. I mean, he just has so many legs that when he goes, oh, and hits, I mean, I just love it. It's just like it gets you jumping and gets you excited for your team. I think he brings the game to life. That is how I would describe Gus Johnson's calling capabilities.
The criticism I have, though, of him and a lot of other announcers is they become fixated on someone probably even before the game. Mm. You know, they talk to the coach. The coach says, oh, this guy, or they decide ahead of time. And what was the nickname he had for Marvin Harrison?
It was before you even said it, it was popping in my mind. He would go Maserati Marv every time.
Yes. And he was running. He was simply jogging off the field. Look at the way he jogged off the field. Maserati Marv. And maybe Ohio State fans would like that, but obviously Penn State fans would not. And I think the generic fan would also be, oh, come on, Gus, give it a rest.
I agree. But I almost got chills when I watched the 2017 Penn State Ohio State game, and he's just kind of setting the scene, and Saquon's back there, and he's like, the dangerous one, Saquon Barkley. And I get like chills down my arm, and then he takes it back, and it's just like, I don't know. I can't. Maybe I'm too much of a fanboy of Gus Johnson, especially since I am a broadcast journalism major, and this is kind of what I do now, I guess. But I am very much a fan of his work.
What I do like is his passion for it, because college football fans are passionate. So that's what we want. We want the announcer to feel the same way about it. But it's obvious we're going to have to do a show one of these days on our favorite play-by-play guys, our favorite color guys, and we'll get into that a little more. Did want to hit on a couple more items, though, back to the money deal. Brent Venables, coach at Oklahoma, he just signed an extension, a six-year extension for $46 million. Not many people are talking about that. And he's a coach that took Oklahoma to a 16-10 record over the last 2 years. This is Oklahoma. And they're already rewarding him with an extension. And Landon, you know, hey, God bless him. If he could get the money, good for him. But it always comes back to me to be – fans complain so much about players making some money. And here these coaches are just getting a ridiculous amount. It's crazy.
Yeah, and not only are they getting a ridiculous amount, Jim, but they're getting it pretty much guaranteed. I feel like people don't talk about this enough, how protected college coaches are. If you don't violate an NCAA rule and basically get fired for it, you're collecting that check no matter. Brent Venables is going to see all $46 million of that unless he gets in trouble with NCAA. So I feel like, especially a contract that long, that's security. That is no matter what, you are taken care of. And what you said his record was what? I know he hasn't been very good.
16-10 over the first 2 years. And I will also remind you, he's now joining the Southeast Conference, and the schedule is brutal for Oklahoma this year. He could lose five or six games this year very easily, Landon.
Yeah, I don't know. When someone has that type of record, I don't know if you lock them into a six-year contract. I mean, James Franklin gets enough flack for going 10-2 every year and making $8.5 million. This guy's over here making $6.7 million a year and only winning half of his games. I don't know. That's interesting to me. But I know. I think you're right. I think college coaches are making a ton of money right now. And the question is, how can we get more money funneled into the athletic programs, into the players, NIL? There's your answer right there. I know that coaches cannot directly give to NIL, but hey, set aside an extra million. Say, hey, I'll just take five instead of 6.7. Take that 1.7. Let's do something with that. Let's get that. You know, now I know there's certain rules right now and restrictions, but we're pretty much at the point in time where universities are able to pay players. I mean, it seems like we're pretty much there. So I know most coaches wouldn't do that because they'll say, hey, I'm going to get as much as possible while I can, but I digress. I just think college coaches make way too much money.
And I don't begrudge anybody to make what they can, Landon. We would all do the same, but I kind of judge the universities for, and you brought up the guaranteed money. My issue when James Franklin signed his extension wasn't so much what they were paying him, but it was as you said, if Penn State decided they wanted to move on from James Franklin, they owed him all that money. If he chose to leave on his own and break the contract, I'm using air quotes here, is he would owe the university barely anything at all. So the contract is so one-sided. But it all leads me to this question to you, Landon. What college coaches do you think have earned their money?
Well, I think there's a couple. I definitely think that, obviously, Nick Saban, he earned everything he did. Kirby Smart earned it all. I would say Urban Meyer, as much as I've expressed my dislike for Urban Meyer, some of those guys have earned what they got. I know, Jim, I'll turn you around and put you on the hot seat. Who's earned a lot of money that doesn't deserve it? outside of Brett Venables, apparently. I'll throw you a name. How do you feel about Dabo Swinney?
That was the name I was going to bring up who earned it. If maybe you don't remember what Clemson was like prior to Dabo getting there.
You know, that was pretty much right around the time that I started watching when a little bit after he got there, I think, right around that time.
They were not a great program, and he built them. And because of that, I think of Dabo as more so earning his keep. I like the coaches who have come in and raised the level of a team. When Nick Saban hit Alabama, they were kind of on a down thing. Mm-hmm. Now, it's still Alabama, but they were down a bit, and he took them to the very top. Kirby Smart, when he came to Georgia, they were doing well. He took them from great to elite, if we want to use James Franklin's terms.
How about I throw you into some like a Lane Kiffin? Those guys that down south that kind of switch around a lot, that have been all over the place. How do you feel about some of those guys? I got to think of a couple other names.
Well, here's the
Mike Leach, I believe, but I think he passed away recently.
Yes.
Rest in peace.
Some of these coaches who take even, we'll use James Franklin as an example. When he was at Vanderbilt, he won 9 games at Vanderbilt. Nobody else could do that. So now the counter to that is, how about Ryan Day, who comes into Ohio State, as somebody said, he started at third base and thought he hit a triple.
I always love that quote. That's one of my favorites. That's one of my favorites from Harbaugh, I got to say. I don't think Ryan Day. I think a lot of people are critical of Ryan Day that he hasn't truly done anything because he was gifted this team by Urban Meyer. Now, I think he's doing a great job, but we'll see. I mean, didn't really have a quarterback last year. Not really sure if they have one true this year. I have seen, though, that they have a quarterback that's killing it at Elite 11 that's going to be like the top 5-star dude. So they always get those guys, but I'm interested to see. I mean, he's kind of struggled so far as the quarterback carousel has went outside of really Stroud. He's hasn't really had a true guy, so it kind of seems that way again this year. I'm interested to see if he can put it together. I think this is a huge prove-it year for Ryan Day. They dumped all that money into NIL. Let's see if we can get it done.
It's going to be a huge year for him. I wonder what the reaction will be if they fall short. God forbid they lose to Michigan again. All right, that is it for Landon and Jim versus the world. Make sure you join us again next week.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.